would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video action last Friday and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
Hi, this is Grant Edwards from Liberty NZ. Thanks for joining us. In a moment, I'm going to be speaking with Dennis Hall from he's a writer, a contributor to the Silent Majority Team New Zealand, and they're on Facebook. You can look them up. I'll put in the description their website on Facebook. I have to apologise for this was pre-recorded earlier this evening or yesterday, late yesterday, but it's worth putting up with. It's a very good interview from Dennis Hall.
Hello, Dennis. How are you today?
Yeah, not bad, Grant.
Dennis, you've got something very interesting that you think I might like to hear about.
I woke up in the middle of the night last night, 4 o'clock in the morning, got out of bed and wrote this essay about what I feel is going on in New Zealand at the moment, and basically I think that we all know that this Maori initiative to take 16% of the population to take 50% of the sovereignty of the country and 50% of the authority, and that's being sort of played out in things like a new Maori health system, and you know the Three Waters and all this sort of stuff. And so most people don't understand Three Waters. You know, I think they don't get it. Are you familiar with how it works?
You know, I don't. I haven't got a clue. Well,
I'll give you a brief explanation.
Yeah.
The three waters are your tap water, the water that goes down your drain and your sewage, and the water that comes off your roof when it rains, you know, the storm water.
Oh, I thought it were three rivers.
No. Three. isn't that amazing? And so this is a very, very important thing that's happening to our future at the moment, and it's extremely subversive. Now, what they propose to do is the thing about the three waters is there's a lot of infrastructure associated with it, most of which is under the ground, and it's, you know, it includes everything from the gutters running down the side of the road to the water mains and to the sewers that are all buried, you know, all owned by the council and paid for by the ratepayers over many years. So they're worth billions. Mm. And so the government have suggested, the plan seems to be that they will buy the infrastructure back off the councils at 8 cents on the dollar. And because, you know, to buy back years and years of work would just cost too much money. But the reason why some councils think that they might accept that is that it would give them some cash to pay down some debt, if you know what I mean. Because one of the things that are going to happen is once they pass the water over to this entity, which will be 50% iwi, once they pass that infrastructure over to them, they get to charge for the water. So the councils are going to have to lower
their... What do you mean 50% iwi? What does that translate into English? Tribe?
The tribe, yeah.
What tribe is this?
Well, every iwis are all over the country, you know.
Is it all the tribes or is it just one tribe?
Well, no. Each tribe is an iwi.
Yeah, I know, but why don't we just use English? Are we speaking English now? Why don't we just say the tribe, 50% to some tribe?
You know, see, the problem is
what's iwi mean?
Well, the entities are not called tribes anymore. They call them iwis.
Yeah, well, I don't speak that. That's not my language.
Yeah, and I agree. Normally, I don't either, but I know that the legal entity that is going to be getting this is going to be called the iwis.
Well, it may do, but my international listeners haven't got a clue what you're talking about, so we need to speak in plain English.
Oh, well, okay, well...
the tribe.
Well, for the purposes of you and I, we'll call it the tribes.
Yeah.
So the So what's going to happen is that the government will buy this. They'll have to borrow the money overseas, which will be in the multi-billions of dollars. They'll buy all that infrastructure from the councils, and then they'll set up a body which will comprise the local tribe, the local Maori tribe. It might not be very many people, you know, but because there's not that many Maoris living in some places, but they'll get ownership of all that. And they'll share it with a body of people who will be picked by the government who hold the other 50%. So that means that the Maoris basically have control of all of our water infrastructure, you know, that is worth so much money. And then they'll be able to charge us for water where we don't pay for it now. And the New Zealand government, the people of New Zealand who have already paid for all that infrastructure over generations, are now going to have to pay back the debt that the government's going to have to incur to buy it all back off the councils.
Plus, we're going to be charged by the tribes or tribe, because there's probably only one tribe that's been lording it over every other tribe, and we're going to have to pay them. They might say, well, it's 2-5 cents or whatever it is, 5 euros by the time they take over. We're going to have to pay them so many millions of dollars a year in costs of using the water that doesn't belong to them in the first place. It belongs to the creator of the heaven and earth.
And so there you go. So you kind of summed it up, really. I mean, it's it's a gigantic money go round.
My blood is boiling hearing this.
Well, you know, I'm surprised at how many New Zealanders actually don't get it.
Well, I think that's on purpose. If I'd realised that Three Waters was Three Waters, I mean, I thought it was Three Rivers or something, some thing to do with farmers and runoff and all this sort of stuff. I had no idea they were going to take over one of our utilities. This is just outrageous.
And so but you see, the Three Rivers, is that's the way it's being portrayed in the advertising that they do. Yeah. So it's an outrageous thing to do. And so the Mahuta, you know, that Nania Mahuta, who's now our foreign minister.
Yeah, the one with the barcode on her chin. Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to pass a law to say that the councils have got, to begin with, the councils were given the opportunity or the option of opting out. But so many of them opted out, she's now going to pass a law to say they can't opt out. So they're going to drive this through. So the other thing that happens, which is interesting and which is scaring the hell out of people, is that the iwi, that tribe, then they take over the responsibilities of the council, having never ever run it before. So all our water infrastructure is going to be run by people who've got no idea how to run it. And into the bargain, they get the rights of the council to come on your property and check that water infrastructure. Of course, they can do that anytime they like. Mm-hmm. And if there's a problem with the water supply, they don't need permission. They just turn up. And so now the tribes are going to have the right to come on any property in the country. And so, you know, it's not immediately, but it's very soon. It'll be this year. It'll be legislated this year. So we're in deep trouble. And so
why is Jacinda Ardern allowing this to happen? Why would the communist socialist party of New Zealand allow 16% minority, a violent minority, mind you, take over our country? Why would they do that? What's in it for them?
Well, they are quite aggressive people. We sort of know that. They're not all violent though, but you know, some of them are very violent. But you know, they, you know, we've got this. It's because of this compact that unfortunately one of our former prime ministers had signed, and that is the UN Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People.
Who signed that?
John Key. I don't think he actually signed it, but it was done on his watch. You know,
John Key. What has he got? Rocks in his head? Has he lost his mind?
Well, the problem with this is that the other thing I've discovered and over time is that this initiative is being helped in a large extent by Nationals' behaviour over the years as well as Labour. So, you know, we can't trust either side. We really can't trust either side.
I don't understand why they do that. What's in it for – what is it? Is the United Nations using Indigenous so-called people to take the land – and destroy what our ancestors have built for us so that they can then double-cross their tribes and take the land back? Is there some kind of a double cross here? Why would the United Nations be interested in letting natives run New Zealand, for example?
In that conversation, in that sentence you just said, you're making an assumption about the United Nations, which is basically incorrect.
Okay. Now,
the United Nations is, to all intents and purposes, a democracy. But the democratic nations of the world, the Western nations of the world, are only a very small percentage because they're very big nations, but they only get one vote. And so there's a lot of funny little indigenous sort of nations all over Africa, and there's all the Islamic countries, and a lot of them are very small, who all have a vote. So the idea that the West can win a vote in the United Nations is just ludicrous. I mean, it's so, you know, it was the West who set up the United Nations, but they set it up in a way that disadvantages them all day long. And
why?
So
why would we do that?
Because we're stupid. Because, you know, because the reason we do that is because we go, democracy is really important, so everybody must have a vote. And the fact that, you know, 90% of them are going to vote against us is sort of, you know, by the by, I suppose. But this is why a lot of people are not happy with the United Nations, is because you never get a fair vote from them, and not ever. But, you know, you've got to remember why the United Nations was set up. The United Nations was actually set up to prevent another world war.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That was the deal. And so, you know, so you're sort of running around in circles trying to protect yourself from something you did on good faith years ago, if you know what I mean. And so that's where we are at the moment. So what the United Nations passed was this declaration that the indigenous people of the world needed to be treated more fairly, and they needed to have the Western settlers turned up and just moved in and took over. But they, you know, they didn't just, you know, the assumption is that they just moved in and took over, but that's not exactly what they did. Because in fact, what, if you think about what we did here in New Zealand with Maori, for example, you know, and between 1807 and 1837, the Maoris were having a war against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely tribe on tribe, and some of them were armed with muskets, and the others were armed with stone implements, you know.
Mm.
And so somewhere between 20,000 and 35,000 people were killed in that war between Maoris, Maori on Maori. And the thing is that even in the New Zealand archives, if you get into, all you got to do is go to the internet in New Zealand, and you got to say musket wars, how many people died? And you get the government history website, and it'll tell you that 20,000 people died because they want the low number. But, you know, they don't dispute the fact that a whole lot of Maoris died.
Mm.
And so
How many white people died in that, in those wars?
Well, there was some, but I don't know how many. I mean, the discussion on the history is about how many Maori died. You know, some Europeans died. I mean, some Europeans died in horrific circumstances and were eaten. So one of the things that we're wiping out of our history right now, and it's been wiped off the school curriculum, is that Maori used to be cannibals, and they were one of the most cannibalistic people on the planet. You know, when the first three explorers from overseas arrived here, one being Abel Tasman in the 1600s, the other one in the 1772 or something was James Cook, and another one was Marion Dufresne, a Frenchman. When they all arrived here, all of them had altercations with Maoris. Some of them died, and the Maoris ate the results. And so they went back to Europe and said, holy shit, these people are cannibals and serious cannibals.
Mm.
And so, you know, they used to keep slaves and so forth as well. If they had a war with another tribe, they won, they'd take some slaves back home. And those slaves would be on the menu whenever they ran short of food.
Wheels on wheels.
Jesus. And so,
they will have no blasphemy, by the way. This is a family show.
Yeah. Sorry.
You just said the name of Jesus Christ as a byword. You wouldn't say that about your mother, would you? You wouldn't take her name in vain. Yes. Calm down, Dennis. Calm down.
Oh, okay. I'll do my best on your behalf.
You can swear like crazy, but I do take exception to that one.
Oh, okay. I'll have to be careful about not saying Elizabeth in a bad way too.
I might even just I might just forgive you, but I don't know if the Lord will forgive you. Oh, yeah, well, the Queen, well, so that some people say she's not, but no, I don't like blasphemy on our show, but I'll put up with just about everything else.
All right, I'll avoid that.
All right, then, sir.
And so you see, we've got an unusual situation because we came, these people, they used to live in grass huts, literally grass huts, made of raupo, which is a kind of reed to get out of the river, and they were about sort of 3 meters by 4 meters, so they weren't very big, dirt floor, no windows, a door in one end or a hole in one end to get inside, and no metal, no tools, no chisels, no weapons or anything, no blades of any sort.
Sounds like a Stone Age culture.
Stone Age culture. So what would they use to cut things?
Banks was correct.
Yep. So to cut anything, if they wanted to slice anything, they'd use a sharpened seashell more than likely and some sharpened rocks, you know, but the blade wouldn't last very long. Mm. And so they lived a very, very primitive existence. Mm. Now we came along and we brought to them civilization. We also incidentally brought them religion, which a lot of them turned to, I've got to say. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that they lived in fear of being killed and eaten. Mm-hmm. So when along come a whole bunch of people with guns and things, being the Europeans, who were very able in an argument, who said, oh, they're not allowed to eat people anymore, a lot of them would have breathed a huge sigh of relief. And so we've come to today's world when they have televisions and every one of them's got a house and a car and whatever, and they get a benefit from the state. And you, do you know what I mean? They get all the benefits that we all get, including hospital treatment.
Yeah. They should, because we're supposed to be equal according to the treaty. We're supposed to come under the same law.
And everybody's supposed to be equal. Exactly. But what we're doing now is we're creating an unequal situation where we put 16% of the population in charge of the other 85%.
It sounds like apartheid.
It's apartheid all day long. Mm. And so just to factor into this while we're on this bent, the other thing that's going on here in New Zealand at the moment, which is part of this deal, is, you know, we've got a free hospital system in New Zealand. If you're talking to your overseas people in New Zealand, you don't have to, you've got to pay to go to the doctor, about $50 to go and see the doctor. But basically, if you go to a hospital, it's free. You know, if an ambulance comes along and picks you up because you've been run over by a car, they take you to hospital and they'll do everything you need to keep you alive. And I have had two major heart operations plus a new valve job, a pacemaker. I've had an aortic aneurysm. I've had 10 angiograms, is where they put stents in, and I'm still alive and haven't paid for any of it. So that's the New Zealand health system. Now they've decided, the Maoris have decided that they need their own separate health system, and this government has decided to give it to them. But you know, the thing about their health system is that it's going to function inside our health system using all the staff that staff our hospitals. So they're going to get preferential treatment because they're brown. And most of them aren't brown anyway, because every Maori alive in New Zealand today carries European blood. And some of them, you can kind of tell if they've got Maori heritage, but basically they look very European. So, you know, we are living in New Zealand a gigantic lie. And Absolutely. The lie is, and the lie is that when Europeans arrived here, Maoris were living an idyllic existence in paradise, which is absolute nonsense. Because aside from the fact that they didn't have metal or tools or blades, they didn't have fabric of any kind, so they're all naked. It's a cold country a lot of the time. We have very cold weather over here, so they're running around in their birthday suits and very cold. And the chief would be, they'd make a cape for the chief, but there wasn't enough effort to go around to clothe everybody. And they had no pottery, no ceramics, so they couldn't carry water. They couldn't warm water or boil water at all. So the only way they could cook anything was to set a fire over some hot rocks and they used to nice big round river rocks, put them in a pit, light a big fire. When it burned down, they'd just cook stuff on the hot rocks, and most of what they cooked would be human meat. And so that was the life that they lived. They always ate their enemies, always. It was aside from being not, let's not be hungry, it was also about sort of what you might call ritualistic. I mean, and they're not the only ancient sort of or tribal culture on the planet that did that. There were quite a few, and a lot in the Pacific, I've got to say.
Yeah.
Fijians were well known for it.
Mm. And the Cook Islanders as well, I'm told by my friend who's a Cook Island, Rarotonga.
Yeah, and the Solomon Islands as well. So you know, it was a fairly common thing, and a lot of different places in Africa as well. And you know, I'm reading a book at the moment about all that, and the guy he talks about fee fi fo fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman.
Oh, is that what that means?
Sorry,
is that what that means? I thought that was just a story about the giant. Is that about cannibalism?
Well, it's a reference to cannibalism, and. Mm. He also talks about the books, some of which I read as a kid, where the Europeans had an absolute horror of cannibalism, and so, but it was also kind of romantic in a weird kind of way, if you know what I mean.
No.
So yeah, well, you know, I don't get it either. But the thing is that the unfortunate thing about this is that many Maori today have chosen to believe, and the government's encouraging it.
Mm.
They've chosen to believe that cannibalism was not part of their culture.
No,
well, you know,
really?
nobody wants to shove it up their bloody noses. Mm. It just needs to be recognised as a reality, because I mean, the people today are not like that, and we, you know, we get all that, but they can't tell us that we did them a disservice by coming over here and bringing civilization. No. Because I mean, even if they had some metal and were able to make a pot. But if they're still living in a grass hut, well, they're better off now than what they ever were before. And you know, and to give you an idea, you will remember the guy Goldsmith in Parliament who recently said Maoris did well out of, you know, what he said was colonisation was good for Maori.
Which of course certainly was. Certainly was.
Absolutely was. Mm. No doubt about it. And yet the Parliament screamed him down.
Yeah.
Wow. And made him retract it.
Oh, no.
And so that's how corrupt our parliament in New Zealand has become. They feed on lies. They just do. And so the thing that's going on now is there's a sort of takeover of our government that is being enacted as we go, because they're using this compact or this declaration of the rights of Indigenous people to give Maori, who were savage. Savage people with no education at all, they're going to give them 50% of the power in the country, even though they didn't have a civilization to speak of, not the one they live in now. Mm. You know, their native language, their normal language today is English, but they're forcing the whole country to learn Maori by putting it on the television all the time. So if you go to watch the news, they start every news bulletin and every item with a sort of series of Maori words. It's just nonsense. It's like,
no wonder their ratings are going down.
Yeah, and they are. And it's like turned into a language lesson, and it's propaganda. So we in
New Zealand have... But it's not a language lesson, because they don't have subtitles in English, so we know what they're talking about.
Oh, well, I noticed that some of the big corporations are doing their ads now in Maori because they would have been ordered to, and putting subtitles on the screen.
That's right. You've got to join the dots, and I don't know how to join them, but there's something that there must be some underlying reason why that our European British Commonwealth government would allow a tribes to take over New Zealand, a minority. To take over our country.
You see, but they've been very careful and they've prepared for this, because what they've done is they've appointed a new Governor General. Now, the way that the system works in New Zealand, of course, is that our head of state is the Queen of England, because we are a member, we're a Commonwealth country.
Yeah.
And so they have a Governor General, and so the government submits the name of the person for the Governor General. Used to be just appointed by the Queen. She just Sir George, you know, so and so is going to be your Governor General. Hmm. But they sort of changed that a bit, so that we suggest to the Queen who the Governor General should be.
Rob Muldoon changed that.
And the Queen, did he?
As far as I know, it was Rob Muldoon. He wanted to appoint the Governor Generals. I could be wrong, so someone could correct me on that in the comments.
Did you know I spent I did a sculpture of Muldoon?
I did.
Sculptor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just rang him up one day. So you could there was a time when you could just ring the Prime Minister. I just picked up the phone, wound the handle, talked to the Prime Minister.
Yeah, that's right. I remember those.
And I said to him, how about I make a sculpture of you? You know, you and I could sit in chairs opposite each other. We'll have a talk. We'll talk about anything at all. I'll make your sculpture and we'll get the television to come in and film it. Mm-hmm. And they did. Brilliant. And, you know, they made six hours of programming and said they could have used a whole lot. Mm. And so, you know, we used to have that access, and I, you know, the things that every politician does is stupid. So did Muldoon do that? Well, if he did, he wasn't thinking.
Be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was, and I was shocked when I heard it because I thought he'd be the last person on earth to do something like that. Governor General, just speaking of Governor General, it's still Dame Patsy Reddy is the current one. When does that term finish?
No, it's Patsy Reddy's gone.
I just opened up her website, governorgeneral.gov.nz, and there it is, Patsy Reddy. So you would think that they'd get their website organised, wouldn't you?
I'm sure they've just changed it to a Maori lady.
Well, it says here, 28th September. On March 22nd, 2016, Queen Elizabeth II approved the appointment of Dame Patsy Reddy, and then it says down here, 5-year term, starting on the 28th of September. So I would say 5 years. So, yeah, she'd be getting close to the ending her term, and say another week.
Oh, right, in another week. So the one that's coming up is Maori all day long.
Mm. I'd heard that, but I don't know who it is. Well, that's okay, so long as she's my personal belief is that no New Zealander should be allowed to be Governor General, because in a constitutional monarchy, it's a triangle. You have the Queen at the top, you've got the Parliament, and you've got the judiciary. So the three people running the country should be the Queen, which is the Crown, and then we have the Prime Minister, her Prime Minister, not our Prime Minister, she's the Queen's Prime Minister, and then we have the judiciary, and that is the triune of a constitutional monarchy. But you must have a British one representing the Queen. You can't have, it's no longer a constitutional monarchy if the Governor General, who is the Queen's representative, is appointed by the New Zealand Parliament or New Zealand Prime Minister. That's wrong. So now you've lost the third strand in the rope. You've got a two braided cord instead of a three, which makes us open to nepotism.
It's sort of open to nepotism and abuse already.
Absolutely.
And so you've got to remember that those ministers that we have are ministers of the Crown. They are supposed to be doing the Crown's bidding, but they're not. What I've done in this document I've done in this video I'm going to post tonight, I have asked people to give their opinion on the idea that we should actually, I should write a letter, because I can write reasonable letters, write a letter to the Queen of England. I'll find out, I know the right person to talk to do the protocol of all that properly, and we should write to the Queen of England and ask her to intervene in what's going on in New Zealand at the moment, and we should then send it around the country and have as many citizens of New Zealand as possible sign it.
I've been thinking about this for probably 6 months, that we need to petition the Queen, because what's going on here is treason.
I would agree with that absolutely all day long. Yeah. And so we've got to start somewhere. So I seem to have quite a following now on that Silent Majority Team New Zealand, and I'm going to ask them tonight, when I post this, it'll probably, and people can look at it over the weekend, I'm going to ask them tonight if they think it's a good idea. I'll go, and we'll go on their response. The other thing I've asked them to do is have an umbrella protest. You know, because ordinary people don't want to go down the road with bloody placards and things. I mean, you know, the idea is what I'm saying is that we should just take an umbrella to town, you know. And so if we can all meet up in the street somewhere and put our umbrellas up, they know who we are, if you know what I mean. And an umbrella is an innocuous thing to carry around. You can take it to work and you can just say, use it to keep the bullshit off, you know.
Mate, I know that's all funny and everything, but I think protesting, banners, holding signs, stand-ins, it's all a waste of time.
Well, it depends on the numbers, and it depends in some respects on who it is, because, you know, if it's a bunch of hippies doing it or a bunch of radicals, you know, people don't take much notice. But if ordinary people go out and it's like those farmers. Well,
She didn't take any notice of that. She just ignored it, didn't say anything, said something.
To all intents and purposes, she ignored it, but I'll tell you what, it made her nervous. And so, but it also told her that people are not happy.
But they're weak as piss. Well, they've done nothing more. They're just too weak. They don't realise they're being taken over by a Marxist government. They're too weak to call a spade a spade. What's wrong with them? What's his name? Bryce, who started it? I can't remember his name.
What do you call it? Bryce somebody.
He wouldn't talk about anything other than, you know, it was just so weak. So weak. I had him on the show. I thought it was weak. I think he needs to pull his finger out and say, let's get cranking. The government needs to be held accountable. And I just think driving your tractor to town, that's all good. But no, there needs to be saying, we're not paying any more rates. We're not doing this. We're not doing it.
I absolutely agree that they let them off easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're not tough enough.
But a lot of the ordinary public were expecting a lot more from it. But
they're too nice. That's what it is. They're too nice.
But they're salt of the earth people. That's why. They're the people who don't want to offend their neighbours.
I'm sure there's good and bad in the farming community. I mean, they're all human beings. And I don't think you could call them the salt of the earth. I think that saying is reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ's people, his church. That's where that comes from, the salt of the earth. That saying, I don't think you could that's what it's for. We're supposed to be salt. When salt loses its savour, it's useless. And so, no, I won't accept you saying that. You can say it if you like, but I don't agree with it.
Well, that's cool. I can go with that.
Go off with your tail between your legs. Oh, dear. How have you been anyway? You've been pretty crook, haven't you, for the last quite a while now.
Oh, yeah, I got 80% heart failure, and so I got to keep my feet warm.
Well, you promised me. You promised me you won't go taking that experimental biological agent called a vaccine, will you?
Well, this COVID one, I'm not going to have that. It'll kill me. And so, but I have flu injections. I've had flu injections every year for years and years and years. Mm. But the flu injection this year did make me very sick.
Ill. Right.
I thought I'm waiting to die. I can say that at the moment. But I'm further up the queue than you.
Well, you might not be. I nearly tipped my John Deere Gator over, and I nearly didn't come home yesterday.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, you need to be careful. But yeah. I don't have to drive a tractor to die. I'm busy dying in this chair.
There's a Bible verse, Dennis, that says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And another one in the New Testament says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." So none of us know what day we're going to die.
Oh, look, and I know that too. Mm. But I mean, but when your doctor says to you, you know, when he says to you, you need to cut the crap because you've got a terminal illness, you just go, oh, okay.
But living is a terminal illness.
I'm never going to get married again.
Mm. Well, you've had enough. 6 marriages, that's more than enough for any man. I don't know how you can afford to keep them all.
Sorry?
I don't know how you can afford to keep them all.
Oh, well, I don't. What? I don't. I'm very happily married at the moment.
Just the one?
Sorry?
You've only got the one wife.
Well, I've been married 3 times, actually.
Yeah, but 3 times. But you're allowed 5. You know that, don't you? New rules been passed since the Muslims have come here. So you're allowed 5.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just couldn't afford more than one. I can't even afford one.
Oh, look, I'm very lucky. My wife said, "Where is she now?" I'm sitting here talking to you, and she's at work.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Keep them busy.
And, I get a pension. I'm 80 years old. You know, I earned it.
You don't sound it, mate. You don't sound it. You sound like a 50-year-old. Hey, so we're looking at the three waters. It's not three rivers. So just recap that again. It's rainwater, wastewater, and what's the other water?
Stormwater.
Stormwater. So waste. Well, isn't that stormwater?
No. Stormwater. You have wastewater all the time, but you only have stormwater when there's a storm.
But
fresh. It's the fresh water coming in. It's the wastewater going back out, and it's the stormwater when it rains, which has got to go into a drain and drains away
into the sea.
Well, yeah. Right. But I mean, you still got to have the infrastructure to stop neighborhoods from flooding. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's really what the value in that is.
Okay.
But those things, the water things, what that does is that whoever owns it has access to every property in the country, farm okay. property, we're private speaking, property, the lot.
We're speaking with Dennis Hall. Dennis Hall is a contributor to the Silent Majority Team New Zealand. And he's telling us about what the three waters really means. It's waste water, rain water, storm water, and all of your ancestors here living in New Zealand, all the tax money that they paid and the infrastructure that they put together is now going to be sold out in all the different areas. How many are there in New Zealand? How many water, what do we call it? Each council is responsible for them, isn't it? Is it the council or the regional council?
Each council, but it'll all go and become part of four different bodies in the country, which will be administered 50% by tribes
right.
and 50% by probably government functionaries.
And you're telling me that 8%, 8 cents on the dollar is what, so all the work that your ancestors put into from 1840s when they first arrived here on ships from the UK predominantly, they're now all that infrastructure, all that building of our country, the water system, the three water system of rain, waste and storm is going to be sold to the Maoris and the New Zealand communist, Marxist communist government for 8 cents on the dollar.
No, you got that wrong. No, they're not selling
it. Oh, no, I know what it is. The government's buying it to them, buying it from them, isn't it? Are they? For eight cents on the dollar.
The government are going to buy it from the councils.
Well, that's them buying it from us. We're selling it to ourselves for 8 cents on the dollar.
That's right, and they're going to give it to the body that's going to run it.
Which is half the tribes, and the other half is what? Some communist Marxist regime.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm. So that's great. How do we stop it?
And so we're going to have to people are going to have to get together. People are going to have to understand what it is, and they're going to have to get together, and they're going to object. And you know,
how do we do that?
A very easy way for people to object is to sit down with their computer. Everyone's got a computer. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got email these days. Go to the parliamentary website, and you will find the email addresses. If you have a look around, you'll find the email addresses of every MP. You need to write to your MP and all the others, if it comes to that, and the ministers, whatever. But, you know, even if you send one letter to your MP, you'll be doing something worthwhile. And if you don't want to write anything or you feel as though you can't, any one of my things that I've written on Silent Majority Team New Zealand, put my name
Facebook.
In there somewhere.
That's on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
Yep.
And you're welcome to cut and paste it, stick it in the email, and just send it to them. Just go for your life.
Well, you know something? I think that's a waste of time.
Could be, but you know.
You know what I think they've got to do?
Go on.
Everyone has to stop paying their rates. And when the money stops coming into these councils, they're going to panic because they need money to keep for all the projects to carry on. So if we just, all of us, just stop paying our rates and they say, okay, what do you want? Well, we don't want the iwi to own 50% of our water and we want to keep it here ourselves. And you force the councils and the government to do what they're told. You stop paying tax and you stop paying rates, all of us, and they'd be stuffed.
Well, I'd make examples of a few people, but let me tell you what the problem is with that, Grant.
All right.
They're in the process of making laws around this at the moment. They're in the process of passing laws to enforce this, okay? So the law will be on the books. Now, before, if we all decide today that we're not going to pay the rates to the council, it's going to be some months before that kicks in, because when do I pay my rates next? I mean, we've paid our rates recently. We're going to pay rates again for 6 months. So, you know, in those 6 months, they will have consolidated those laws. So, it's, you know, there's some difficulties associated with doing that. Whereas sending an email to your buddy MP and letting him know that you're not happy, and not just to your MP, but to the mayor as well.
I wouldn't even see it. It wouldn't even get, if you send it an email, it's just going to go into the spam folder or the junk file. No one's going to read it.
All right. How about
waste of time? Stop. Cut off the money. Cut off the money and starve the beast.
Well, another, well, yeah, but like I say, it'll take 6 months to kick in. You know, the other thing that people could do is that they could get a dozen of their friends and they could just go down to the council, drive their cars down to the council, park their cars in the driveway, lock them up and go inside and make a bloody nuisance of themselves and tell them why. You know, I mean, people can do something, but the trouble with doing what you're suggesting is that the other thing about that is that they can sue you and also sue you for the interest and the court costs, you know. So
not if we all do it. Not if everyone. We need a New Zealand ratepayers. I know we've got ratepayers associations, but we need some real. I think we need cigarette company, the people that are lawyers for the cigarette companies, we need some hotshot lawyers like them to go into bat for us and say we're not paying any more rates until you sit around the table. We're not accepting your Three Waters. We're not accepting your Māori iwi running our country. And we're not happy with this communist Marxist leader. We want her out as well. We want new elections, and we want our Governor General to be sent from the Queen. We want her to choose, or her son. Whoever, we want the monarchy to choose the Governor General that runs our country. We want a constitutional monarchy back, because it's the best type of democracy there is, but it's not when it's not being run properly.
But Grant, to be real about that, you've got to mobilise those people, and it's very difficult to mobilise people.
When they cut you off on YouTube, you ring up Talkback, they cut you off, they chop your channel down. You can go onto Facebook, and what do? They put you in prison, in jail, Facebook jail. We don't have any way, the people have no way of being able to communicate with each other, and that's what the socialists do. The communists always do this. They're dividing us with the vaccine thing. We're all divided. Some people don't want it. Other people do want it. Most people don't want to have an experimental biological agent injected into them, but they're being forced to because they can't travel or they can't get a job without it. So they're taking it because they want to carry on and get back to normal.
And that's dividing
the country.
Absolutely. I completely agree. But you're still faced with the business of trying to mobilize people. I'm trying to figure that out. But I can tell you, I've talked to people in the last few days who have told me that they believe Jacinda has saved them from the virus. And I say to them, if Bill English had been appointed Prime Minister by Winston Peters instead of Jacinda, Bill English would have saved us from the virus. So that's nonsense, you know. You've got to forget about that, you know. That's what they believe, you know. And so she's still at sort of 51 or 52% in the polls. So, you know, we've got a problem.
Problem. People are so brainwashed. We have a mass psychosis happening in the whole world, actually. But let's talk about New Zealand. We've got a mass psychosis happening. The people are crazy, man. They just believe everything that's on the radio and the TV at the moment is lies. Everything.
Well, you know, that's one of the other things, along with the Māori health system that's being overlaid over the top of the real one, is the fact that the $55 million that have been put into the media to buy the TV channels and make them just run the sort of programs that they're allowed to run. And if you will notice that there must be threats somewhere, because all of our advertising has changed as well, and all of the people playing in our, you know, the actors in our advertising are now Maori, and 15% of the population, and most Maori don't look that Maori, but you know you can tell the ones that are, and as well as that, all the programming features Maori stuff, and our news features every day a significant proportion, probably 20%, that is exclusively Maori stories. So, you know, everything's changed. I mean, we are getting indoctrinated every bloody day. You know, it's desperate stuff. And so the only voice we've got is people like you and people like, you know, Silent Majority Team New Zealand and Facebook. And I'll tell you what, that, you know, George Good, who helps to run that Facebook page, he spends hours every day, I mean probably 8 to 10 hours every day, keeping the Facebook page clean so Facebook don't sack him.
Yeah, and he cuts me off. He deletes all my stuff, my comments. They don't cut you off for comments, mate. He doesn't like the comments.
Look, he's in constant contact because there's so much traffic on that page that he's in contact with Facebook, and they say to him, any commentary about, if you allow any commentary about the virus
vaccine,
we will shut you down. And so,
don't you think that's a bit dodgy? Don't you think that's a communist regime? Why can't we have a free and open discussion about this thing that they're forcing upon us? It is forced. Coercion is forced.
Oh, look.
What?
Come on, Grant. You've got to be realistic about this. I absolutely agree with you that it is a communist thing to do. I absolutely agree with you that it's completely unjust, but it's also impractical just to fly in the face of that, because then they just de-platform you and you've got nothing.
You can get around it. You can say, look, we're not allowed to mention the word, you know, the C word, C19, but we're happy for you to talk about it, but you're going to have to put it in code. And if they put it in code, they're fine.
Yeah, but anything that's not in code, he's got to get rid of. He's got no choice.
Fine. Just tell people. Just say, if you want to talk about the, you know what, the jabberoo, you've got to talk about it in code.
Look.
And we'll leave it on.
You know, what we've done on, and I seem to be a board member on this new party, which is the new National Party.
Well, I never heard of it.
Yeah, well, I know, because it only started yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Day before yesterday. Mm. And it's part of the Silent Majority Team New Zealand. And the thing is, the only way you can get a voice and the only way you can change the things that you're railing against is to get a whole bunch of people into Parliament. And so National are not going to do it for us. Greens are not going to do it for us, because Greens are as bloody subversive as they come. Mm-hmm. And of course, and Labour's not going to do it. So we've got to set up another organisation to try and do it. And the problem with that is it then splits the right-wing vote, because we're all considered right-wing, but I would have thought we were mainstream. And so by setting up this new party, that is our first step towards trying to do something about the things that you're concerned about.
Well, what you've done is you're just going to cut your own throat, and Jacinda's going to have another year, another 3 years, another term.
Oh, possibly, but what's the choice? Mm. What is the alternative?
Well, the choice is you sort out the National Party.
Oh, look, we wanted to sort out the National Party, but they were dodging and diving and running away, and, you know, they approached us and had a talk with us and all the rest of it, but you know, they could see that we wanted major changes, and we wanted to see them get rid of some of the people who support what Labour are doing. And if you have a look, you'll see in amongst this business of running some of these, you know, one of the Maori Health Service is Amy Adams, who is a former National MP. So National are in it donkey deep.
Right.
Our idea was to get inside National and say, right, we need to get rid of the deadwood. We need to change get away from the separatist policies and start again, you know, but they won't hear of it. They we've sent a lot of people to join the National Party, and some of them are going to be quite pissed off. But I mean, what can you do? We thought that we would be able to revitalise National. That was the reason that Silent Majority Team New Zealand started in the first place.
Yeah.
But they've made it really clear that that's not going to work. And one of the reasons why is because they know we object to exactly the things that you and I have been talking about tonight.
Mm.
And they support some of that stuff. They just do. So they have to go.
Mm.
And in this video that I made today, that's what I've said to them. Give it up, National. Go home, you guys. Well, you're useless.
They're basically controlled opposition for the Labour Party.
Oh, well, there's Labour Light. And so we've got to start somewhere. And so, you know, we're going to work at this pretty hard, and Mike Jacob, he's going to throw a whole lot of money at it. Mm. And we believe we'll get a lot more funding, because I think that as long as we're sensible about what we do, and we're going to get we'll get more financial support. And people are sick of it. New Zealand is ready for a change.
They are. New National Party. All right, well, you'll have to really go at it. No one else has been able to do it.
Oh, look, I know. I would much rather have gone in and twisted some arms at the National Party, because we talked to some of these people, you can kind of tell that there's a, you know, Morris Williamson, look, have a look up and see what he did. He gave billions to the Maoris. He was National. Billions of dollars.
What about Sue Gray? I'm thinking about voting for her. What would be wrong with doing that?
Who's she?
What? Sue Gray, the Outdoors Party. She's the lawyer that took the government to court a couple of months ago in the High Court for the vaccine rollout, which was only supposed to be for a small group. That's what it said. That was the rules for the government rolling this vaccine thing out because it's still in trials in 2023. And she won her case. Sue Gray won the case in the High Court in Wellington. And the government straight away the next day changed the law so that to avoid prosecution, backdated it.
Oh, look, you know, I have actually heard her name. Yeah, I'd be struggling to bring myself to vote for the but, you know, I'm donkey deep in this new National Party thing now. I'm not going to change my direction now. So good luck to her and good luck to everybody else. And, you know, who knows?
All right. Well, we're speaking with Dennis Hall. He is a contributor for Silent Majority, Team New Zealand, and they've just set up a brand new party. It's called the New National Party of New Zealand. And how long have you got? A couple of years? We haven't even got 2 years before the election.
The Silent Majority Team New Zealand have got 300,000 odd people who regularly visit it. So, and it's got sort of 15,000 members at the moment. So it's a lot of people. You know, who knows how committed the members are? I don't know. And but you know they gave me the stats on the people who follow what I do there, and it's sort of way over bloody 10,000, so that kind of surprised me. So I'll just keep pressing on with what I'm doing. I just enjoy writing, you know. And if I'm here for the next election, I'll be gobsmacked.
I bet you will be still here.
So I'll just plug something. What I've done is I've taken all the posts that I've put on Silent Majority Team New Zealand, which are about these subjects, and I've lifted them all out and I'm assembling them into a book. I've written the prelude and I'm just in the process of assembling an epilogue at the end of it, and I've got a publisher. So it's going to be called The Truth About Lies.
That's very good. All right, Dennis, thank you for that. And so in the link we'll put the Facebook page for Silent Majority Team New Zealand. What else do you think that people need to go and have a look at? The Three Waters, how can they learn what that means in real English? Has anyone written it and actually unpacked it?
I think I've given you the unpacked version.
You have, but when will we see it in writing?
Look, I don't know. I mean, I sort of figured that out by listening to people talking sort of very fudgy. You know, they've fudged it all. They don't want people to understand.
That's right.
It.
They've used funny language so we don't understand what they're doing. Yeah. That's a United Nations trick.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I looked at it hard enough to be able to figure out exactly what they were doing. And the thing that threw me completely was the idea that they were going to buy it. So that means raising money. So, and then buy all that infrastructure at a cost of billions of dollars, which the people of New Zealand who have already paid for it have to pay for it again, so that it can be given to people on the basis.
Lost you. Hang on, lost you. Hmm? But you're going to be given to people on the basis of what? You got cut off for a second.
It's going to, they're going to give it to people.
On the basis
they're going to borrow money. Mm-hmm. They're going to buy something we already own.
Yeah.
Then and we're going to pay that money back, and they're going to give give ownership of all that to bodies of people that comprise 50% Maori tribes. Yeah. And they're going to give it to them. They don't have to pay for it.
Right.
And so the New Zealand people literally are going to have to pay for it the same thing three times.
So
once when they put it in the ground, once when they buy it back, and then they're going to have to pay these people to run it. So basically, they're going to have to buy it three times.
And usually, it's run very badly. Although the farms that some of these iwis own, they run those pretty well, don't they?
Go and have a look at the people that are running them. Yeah, I think you'll find that. Look, you know, have a look at some of those people in the iwis. You know, you'd be struggling to put a Maori name on some of them. They look very, very European to me.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Well, it's not very good, but okay. So how do we stop then? Well, I know I asked you that question and you said, blowed if you know. You don't know. You think just write letters or write emails.
Oh, look, what an ordinary person at home who worries about this and watches something on TV, what they can do, and I dispute what you said before, what they can do is they can sit down and they can write an email, and all they've got to do is address it to the person, say, I watched you on TV tonight and I don't agree with what you said. My name is George. And so, you know, those MPs will get all those things, and they'll be very good at ignoring them, but at the same time, shake them. You know, enough of them will shake their confidence.
Why don't we just have a big billboard on the side of the road, and it's got a shot of a Maori in his full warrior outfit, and then just put three waters and put rainwater, stormwater, wastewater. We now control half of that. All what your ancestors bought and paid for and put in, we now have half of it. Half of it's ours. That'll get their attention. Put it on the side of the road, big billboards, so people drive past day in, day out. We've just given Maori half of our water rights, and they're going to charge us for it. And we've got to borrow. We've got to borrow money I don't know. I don't even understand. It's so complicated.
Two problems with that. First of all, you've got to raise the money to do it. Then you've got to find the billboard to put it on, and then they're going to come along and say that's offensive and take it down.
Well, we'll put it on. We'll have the stickers on the side of our cars. There's little magnet ones. Just put them on all our cars, and the whole back window for $100. You can get your whole back window out. You can still see out the back, and it can have exactly that on every car window on the back. So everyone's driving behind you, and they're going to say exactly what Three Waters means.
Look, there's a lot of people can't afford $100 for their front tyres, mate.
Well, those that can need to do it. Mm. We need to put our money where our mouth is. Otherwise, we're going to lose our country.
Grant, I'm going to say it again. It costs you absolutely nothing to sit down and write a letter to your MP.
And achieve absolutely nothing.
we
agree to disagree.
Yeah, cool.
It's always great having you on the show, Dennis. I look forward to speaking to you again. If you'll come back, will you come back after I've been so mean to you?
Have you been mean to me? Look, if that's being mean, I can deal with it any time.
Oh, that's good. Okay, mate. Dennis Hall. Silent Majority Team New Zealand. Go onto Facebook, look up and see Dennis's post. He's a prolific writer, and you'll see him there on the Silent Majority. The new party is called the New National Party, so look up there, hopefully, and you'll learn what's going on with this Three Waters. It doesn't mean three rivers. It's not they're going to own the rivers. They're going to take over, and they have the right to come onto your property and inspect your water. I mean, I don't want anyone on my property. It's my property. And they come on when I invite them on. If they're not, otherwise they're not coming on my property. I don't like that. I don't understand this business of allowing a small group of New Zealanders have the right to be able to come onto my property.
You need to understand something. This also means rainwater. This means what you take off your roof and put in a tank. They can check it to make sure it's drinkable.
They're doing that in England, and I didn't believe it. Someone told me that they use the health angle, don't they? That we want to check it to make sure that what you're drinking is safe and fit for human consumption. Yep. Well, I've got a farm. They're not coming on our farm.
Well,
I've got 90,000 litres for drinking, and I've got dams everywhere. I've got seven dams. They're not coming on my farm.
All right. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Thank you, Dennis.
Good to see you. Thanks, Grant.
Okay, all the best.
Yeah, all the best. Bye.
Bye.
Early next year, we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, you know, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for. And some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will. But I can't say that, you know, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oft times door to door, literally knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus. Look, equity, equality, it remains at the heart of our responsibility of ensuring the communities that are the hardest hit by the virus have the information and the access to get vaccinated.
The president will outline five areas his team is focused on to get more Americans vaccinated. One, targeted community by community door-to-door outreach.
Anthony Fauci has spent, listen to this number, $191 billion, not $3.7 million, not $30 million, $191 billion of audited funds for the bioweaponization of viruses against humanity. This is a bioweapons program designed to kill us. That's what it is. And it's not just designed to kill us, it's designed to kill massive numbers of the population. We do not have a virus, we have a biological weapon. In 1999, the weaponization of this was actually explicit in the first NIAID grant. And DARPA was involved in this, as were a bunch of other defense agencies. And specifically what was done in 1999 was human lung epithelium was targeted for the first time, because coronavirus was actually pretty innocuous to the majority of human interactions, but human lung epithelium was specifically targeted such that this would become a pathogen to the human lung. We built SARS. Humans built SARS, and U.S. taxpayers paid for it. In 1999, we built a bioweapon. I wrote my first classified briefing on it in 2001. I actually gave the lectures on bioweapons and global security in 2003 in Bled, Slovenia. In 2004, in the Islamic Republic of Iran at the National Bioweapons Conference in Iran. This is a history record that is not new to this conversation. This was known, and we, in 2005, decided to make it a DARPA-funded initiative. 2005.